my privilege to welcome you here today, and it's not my welcome that is important, it's that the Lord has welcomed us in. We, Pastor talked about the way of the world, and we know that the way of the world, the fashion of this world passes away. But for us, we're knit together in love. So I guess it's time to start. So I rejoice with you, and I'm so grateful. My kids were asking me what was I going to speak about today, and I told them I was going to speak about Jesus loves you. I wasn't in any way trying to be humorous. Indeed, that's true. I'm so grateful for the grace of God, and again, that's what knits our hearts together, as I'm sure. I'm so grateful to be with each and every one of you. I'm struck with a thought that, you know, despite our natural differences, despite a variety of different things, it's the love of God that draws our hearts together. And in that, we have fellowship. We can come from different places. We can have a variety of different backgrounds. And yet, it's the grace of God that knits our hearts together, that love. So grateful to be with you today. If you would, open your Bible to Psalm 25, the 25th Psalm. So, as you're turning to draw our hearts in, I'm thinking about how it is that we come to know that grace of God, how we come to know the Lord. And my dad and I were fellowshipping yesterday, talking about those two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus after the Lord was raised. And it's an amazing thing how their eyes were, it says their eyes were holden, that their vision was withheld while they walked with Jesus. But what we find is, having spent that time with the Lord, it says in Luke records this, in chapter 24, it was they remarked after they realized who Jesus was that they knew him in the breaking of bread. And that's the very thing we share today, is the breaking of bread. We share in the fellowship of God's word. We're able to do that here in the preaching of his word, but also in the fellowshipping of that word. So in that, I think, what did it take for the Lord to bring us to where we are sitting right now? You know what, this message is for those on the front row, but certainly those on the back row as well. Those on the side, whoever you are, I'm so grateful that the grace of God, that invitation that we spoke of, extends to even me. And it reaches me when I think I know the Lord, and it reaches those who I think about. Many of us, we feel an inadequacy, it might be, before the Lord, and yet the grace of God covers that. It doesn't matter what I was doing on Saturday night. Here he is meeting me. There's times where I wonder, Lord, how is it that I'm sitting where I'm sitting? How is it that I'm standing where I'm standing? You know, certainly we might choose to be somewhere else, but the Lord directs our steps. And we're so grateful for that, the way that he establishes our goings. So we will begin in the 25th Psalm, verse 10. David draws an amazing conclusion about the grace of God in verse 10. Here it is. That's Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So David draws a conclusion. He says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. We might understand that to be all the paths of the Lord are goodness, kindness, and favor. They're also truth, he said, which is firmness, faithfulness, the sureness, and the stability. Right? It says, unto such as keep his covenant, that's the alliance or his pledge, and his testimonies or his witness. A very simple statement. And yet we wonder, how did David get there? Right? He says, all the paths of the Lord are goodness, kindness, and favor. They're also firmness, faithfulness, certainty, and stability. Right? Unto such as keep his covenant. What is his covenant? But his pledge, his words, his testimony, that witness, right? So it isn't David writing this out of the mountaintop of experience, but also the depth of experience. We might read this and say, certainly I can sing that with David in what would feel like the best of times. But David's life was not marked by only the high points, but also the low points. And thus, we begin to ask the Lord, is this true? Even when I'm in the lowest of points, Recently, I personally have come through some experiences where I said, Lord, I'm not even sure I can see up out of this hole. Are you there, Lord? David came to those points as well. And I know this morning, without meddling in your business, I know there are many, 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 many needs here today. And we are faced with these very same questions. Lord, are all your paths mercy and truth, such as to those who keep your covenants and your testimonies? So it's easy, seemingly, to say this in those moments of the high point, but David came to many, many points in which he learned this truth. So we said that this is a conclusion. You may ask at certain points, if you haven't, you will, Lord, how can this possibly be true? David drew this conclusion, a conclusion about the grace of God. How can that be true, Lord? There are moments where you will say, Lord, is that right? Is it truly mercy and truth, all the paths? You've questioned that. If you haven't, you will. So if that's a conclusion, we can go back to verse 4 in this chapter. It's as if David learned something that caused him to draw this conclusion. Verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. So when we think about these experiences, and the ones I'm thinking of is, if you've ever had the truck run over you, and then they backed up to make sure they got you, is that where the Lord can still make all those paths mercy and truth? Or is that true? Is the Lord in that? Is that, I would tell you from the depths of my heart, if I were to counsel the Lord, I wouldn't lay my brother up for 7 months in a recliner. I wouldn't break his hip. But you know, the Lord would. You know, I wouldn't wish hardship on anyone. And nor does the Lord wish the hardship, but he sure does use it. He sure does use it. And even when I'm questioning those deepest moments of, Lord, I think you may have forgotten about me. He hasn't. That was David's testimony. So Jesus had a particularly meaningful interaction with the blind man that you will recall in John 9. And the disciples took note as well. They said, Master, who did sin that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Certainly the disciples concluded something is very out of order here, right? And Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Ultimately, Jesus caught up with this blind man later, and he said, do you believe on the Son of God? Many factors, many people involved in this story. It wasn't just for the disciples. It was for this man. And you and I question the same, very same questions. Why was this man born blind? Lord, why are these my circumstances? Why for my children? Why for my family? Why for fill in the blank? But Jesus asked him, he caught up with him, and there was this one-on-one. Do you believe the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? The blind man said, well, who is he? He's no longer blind, but he says, who is he that I may believe on him? Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So in these circumstances, we look back at it, and you say, why was this man born blind? That he might see. That he might meet the Savior. That it's more than just the healing. It's the experience of finding out about those paths of mercy and truth. That they're true regardless of what I feel like. I focus on the circumstances. And he uses those circumstances to glorify himself. And ultimately to glorify me. That's where I'm headed. That's where you're headed. So going on to verse 4, as I said, David said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. So we come to find out there's certain things the Lord shows us, and there's certain things he teaches us. When David said that, he was saying that show me thy ways, it's synonymous with the word know. It means to know. Make me to know thy ways, Lord. He goes on to say, teach me thy paths. That is to instruct me. That's as you might expect. Teach me, instruct me. Thy ways, the things that he shows us is a road or course of life or a mode of action. The paths that he would teach us are those well-trodden roads, a caravan. It means his manner. And what we find is that's exactly how we walk with the Lord. We come to know certain things, but then he shows us other things. There's a deepening of fellowship as we walk with him. There's certain things that we begin to know by experience, and there's other things that he must teach us. So we begin to ask again these questions, well, what will we experience then by knowing his ways and being taught by his paths? Well, we've come to find out by experience, or you will, that we plan, but he establishes. Right? Proverbs tells us a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Right? So what does it mean to devise your way? That's the planning, the thinking, the calculating. Okay? But the but in that, what the Solomon had to say there, is the Lord. I do this, but the Lord directs those steps. Directs those steps. So what does it mean to direct? He's establishing. So I might plan, but he's establishing. As much as Jesus prayed, not what I want, but what you want. He was praying, Lord or Father, establish. Establish what is to be. I have the plans, but Lord, you're the establisher. David ended up saying, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he delights in his way. What did David mean when he said that? Once again, those steps are ordered. That means that they're firm. Once again, they're established. They're set up. Don't you want the Lord to set your way up? Don't you want that footing to be firm? Wouldn't you have it to be his way? Even in the darkest of circumstances where you question, Lord, how could you possibly be in this? How, Lord, I certainly begin to question, how can this possibly be true? What it says there is that he delights in his way. Do you know that means he bends down? That means he takes pleasure. Do you think he cares about those circumstances, as dark as they might be for you? Do you think he's moved by the feeling of our infirmities, that high priest we read of in Hebrews? He's touched. We don't go by feeling, we go by faith. We go by his word. It was said yesterday, wouldn't you rather go by his word? Right? Okay. So, diving in a little bit deeper, what is that way? Again, it's a course of life or a mode of action. Job, think of the life of Job. Ultimately, that story of Job is the story of the faithfulness of God. I focus in on all the hardship that Job went through. But not Job. It said he never sinned against God with his lips. He questions. If it were me, I'd say, Lord, are you kidding? That would be me. If I put myself in Job's shoes, I'd say, Lord, are you kidding me? These circumstances, right? And do you think Job had cause to say, Lord, I'm wondering? He indeed did. He indeed did. So David, as we had said before, where did these experiences come from where he's able to say that all the paths of the Lord, all of them, what did they come through? Was it because David had this life of ease? It wasn't. It wasn't. At the end of David's life, we sometimes are so tripped up by the flesh and how it would seek to war against the spirit. David, near the end of his life, near the end of his reign, he made a series of mistakes. Those are the ones that can cause us some of the most disappointment. What about when we do stupid? Is the Lord in that? What about when, in a sense, we pull these things down on ourselves? And you think, Lord, why would you allow this? As much as I love you, as much as I want your best. Have you ever had that experience? Is the Lord in that too? Yeah, he is. So David said, upon a particularly painful experience, he was given a choice. And this is what he said. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Right? Even when the most difficult circumstances, some of which seem to be of our own making, he's also in that. Right? We read there that when he spoke of those mercies, he said his compassion is great, in spite of me. Right? We think of Moses as well. Moses said in Exodus 33, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. What Moses said is the exact same word David said, and that is to know. To see in this instance is to know. To show is to know. Thankfully, it rhymes. Right? So Moses wanted to know those paths that David was speaking of. Those ways, excuse me. So later on in his life, if you want, turn to Hebrews 11. This is the record of Moses. In Hebrews 11:24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." What is Moses' testimony there? It says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Was that an exception? Or is that part of the ways? Would that be the same for you and I? Are afflictions an exception, or are they more like a way of life? More like all those paths? That was a choice he made. He chose rather to suffer the affliction. Why? There's a little word in there that says respect. He had respect, which means to turn your eyes away from other things and fix them on one thing. Isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit is working in each and every life that would listen to him? That would hear what he has to say? To turn our eyes from other things and fix them on the one thing? Okay. So those are the ways. But as we deepen that fellowship with the Lord, as we go on, he teaches us his paths. That is a well-trodden road, a caravan or his manner, right? You know, Moses, again, had a very similar experience. It says that he spoke with him as a man speaks face to face, right? They had a deepening of that fellowship. But the thing about the paths is they tend to often take time, right? The Lord is very deliberate about his paths. This is the perfecting of the saints, right? The very deliberate paths he would take us down. We think of, again, David losing a child. Don't know if you've ever had that experience. But think of, as was mentioned yesterday in one of the sermons, David has a child that he's going to die. And yet he weeps over that child. He pleads for the life of that child. Was God in that too? Yeah, he was. Think of it this way. Those paths, had that child not died, there wouldn't have been a Solomon. Had there not been a Solomon, there wouldn't have been a line of Jesus. Were all those paths mercy and truth? Moses, we can put ourselves in his shoes too. Confused about his role. Imagine having just killed an Egyptian. Would you look up and say, "Lord, pretty sure you called me to lead this people. Pretty sure I'm doing what it is you asked me to do. I believe you're leading me." And yet there were more paths for him to cover with the Lord, right? So had he not had that, confused about his role, his fate, driven out to the desert, had he not had that experience, there would have been no burning bush. There would have been no experience with the Lord to know those paths. Did he use those experiences? Does he use those experiences in your life? He does. He absolutely does. So then he comes back, and he is the deliverer that God called him to be because he learned those paths. We think of even the prodigal, a wonderful story. There's three characters or more in that story. Did the prodigal have to go out? He did. He did have to go out. What's that like to be the father? We don't talk a whole lot about the father in that story. But what about the father having to let that son go and have another son who's bitter about the whole experience? Right? Is the Lord in that? You know, John tells us that, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Is it the going out of the prodigal that caused him to know what it was to be a son? When you don't feel like a son? When you go back to the father, sure, that I'd rather take the place of a servant. But the father said, no, put the robe on him, kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger. The word tells us, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This is not something we wait for. This is something that we step into right now. So once again, we think of Job. What was Job's testimony at the end of all those paths? Faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. And he said, God will be justified. And it was proven to him. Would that have been his testimony had it not been for all of those experiences, those dark, dark nights? It wouldn't have been. No. Paul, at home, and by the way, I was informed that I didn't stand up yesterday to introduce myself, so I'm sorry for that. I do live out of town. I live in Tulsa. In our Bible study there at home, we recently studied the book of Acts. And for that time, I was so impressed with all the different steps that Paul and some of the other apostles took. Many, many steps. If you look, a lot of great detail as to the different steps that the Lord walked them through. And at the end, in one instance, Paul's standing in chains on a staircase. And you would think, again, Lord, for the things that you've called me to, is this really my lot in life? Chained, standing on a staircase? But he also spoke to the entire nation of Israel as a result of that, testifying to this Jesus. These paths, they're his paths. He's established them. Those steps. And in those moments, once again, we ask, Lord, how can this possibly glorify you? That's an okay question. As David found, these paths are established. So, as we think about those purposes, they're perfect. Why you think Paul, once again, as he's speaking in Acts 15, he's quoting the prophet Amos. And we think about the destruction of the temple. I myself would say, Lord, why would you allow such a thing to destroy the temple in front of all these your people? What good does there come from such destruction? But Paul, quoting Amos in Acts 15, says, after this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruin thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and that all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So is it that perhaps the destruction of the temple was necessary for the gospel to reach me? Don't know if you would consider that before now. But Lord, why would you destroy the temple? Is it that the residue of men might seek after the Lord? Does he love Israel? Does he love you? That the Gentiles might be reached? Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world? Do you think even when it's dark, he can still see? Do you think he still has you? Even when it feels like, Lord, maybe your grip is slipping on me. We come to know better. We come to know much better. So let me end really by saying this. We see his goodness now. It would be imperfect to think that there's something about that we're waiting for. We see his goodness now. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's right now. We're not waiting on that. Do you see the goodness of God in the land of the living? Can you say that with David? Do you see that goodness? Will you see that goodness? So that's now. But here's what we have to look forward to. If we see that goodness of God in the land of the living, he then will show the exceeding riches of his grace, we're told in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:5, if you care to turn there. He says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places, the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We see the goodness of God in the land of the living, but he's going to unfold that grace for all eternity. So he's working something eternal in those circumstances, in those dark nights, in those moments that feel crushing. He uses all manner of circumstances. You think occasionally, Lord, that one, I'm not so sure. But he is. He's established those goings. While we often focus on the circumstances, he never changes. He would have us to know his ways and to be instructed in his paths. I trust you'll let the Lord work that in your life this morning.